Hello and welcome to Discussing Documentaries with me, Matt Wills, and Rick Wharton. Today we are talking about it's the Patreon.
Not a documentary.
It's not the documentary, actually.
Not a documentary.
We are discussing movie today, and part of the Patreon, we are discussing The Jinx in the movie form. You just told it to me and I thought it was a poem. What's the name of the movie?
Drop Mike Mormon. Mentioned Rick and Poems in the same sentence. No, the movie is called All Good Things.
Now, the link between here is
it was directed by Andrew Jarecki,
yes,
and Mark Smerlin, who was the producer on it. And they released that story based on the Robert Durst investigations and the story of. And after that, Robert Durst gets in touch and thinks, I need to talk to these guys.
I want a piece of this pie. What I'm loving about The Jinx, so I've got to know you reasonably well over the past year, right? We haven't been
For the sake of our Patreon audience, the distance between starting The Jinx and where we're at now is about 6 months, if I'm not mistaken.
And a day, right? At least 6 months. But what I've noticed is getting to know you after all these months is, you know, and by your own admission, right, you are a reasonably lazy man.
I don't know. I'm pretty sensitive about people talking about my work ethic at the moment, Matt.
But here's the thing. The effort that you've put into The Jinx and the movie, like even learning out who he worked with on the film. Now, I get pretty anal about things. I haven't gone into the level of detail that you've hit me with some of this stuff. Like in the pre-production meetings, I'm like, how the fuck do you know that? Jesus, you didn't work this hard on your comedy degree.
Again, we don't fucking tell people I got a degree in comedy. I need them to have some modicum of respect for me. When you mentioned production meetings, we've had one production meeting that was before we started this recording because I needed to charge my phone.
Yeah, it's a production meeting, Rick. That's what it is. For the purposes of Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, that's what it was.
I was sat there doing a table read and go, what if you say, today we are discussing the... So, this movie is... It's not a good movie. Do you know what I mean? If you were to watch this without knowing who it's about, which before this documentary is the case, it is...
This movie was a bit of a stinker, but on the other hand...
It got 35% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's right, Matt. Rick, you did some research.
Bloody hell, man. But saying that, the cast of this movie is exceptional.
All-star, isn't it?
Right? It's Frank Langella plays Seymour Durst. Robert Durst is played by... it's one of the Ryans, isn't it? Ryan Gosling,
which I think this is... why Robert Durst got in touch and says, I like the story. When you see Ryan Gosling just looking like one of the best looking men on the planet with his abs.
Oh, God, yeah.
And talking to Kirsten Dunst, love interest from fucking Spider-Man playing Kathy. He's just sat there watching his abs going up and down during the sex scenes and is like, that's exactly what I'm about. He has got me to a T.
The thing is, if someone turned around and said, you know, who played you in your movie of your life, like for instance, the author Bill Bryson, right, who's a bit pudgy looking, he's a great writer, but he's a bit pudgy looking, looks as he's as stereotypical English as you get. Now, bearing in mind he's from Idaho in America, they had Robert Redford play him in a movie about like that's what you want, isn't it? It's if The Rock or Chris. Not Chris. Who's the other guy who I said could play me in a film? It was The Rock, Brad Pitt, or Kevin Hart, right? If one of them three actually played me in a movie, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I must be awesome. I must be awesome. Because look,
Having Kevin Hart play you in a movie.
I think that's a close proximity. Forget skin colour for a second. But, you know, we've had very similar lives.
There's a world problem solved just there. Let's just go out during all these, you know, the Blue Lives Matter rallies against the Black Lives Matter. Like, hey, listen, just for a second, just for 1 second, I think Kevin Hart should play me in a movie.
Well, funny enough, I'm listening to a Bill Bryson book at the moment, right, called The Body, and he covers race very cleverly because he says, if you was to peel off the skin, right, just the outer layer of all the different colours of people on the planet, and you was to hold it up to light, they all look the same. And he goes, and people change colour. It doesn't take that long for a group of people to change colour. So it takes, it probably reckons 3 to 9 generations. He goes, it can take, you know, sometimes 600-700 years. Boom. You can go from being black to white or from white to black to Asian. It's insanely intelligent stuff. And then we get so hooked up on it because of the last, you know, 2,000 years of hell that we've put people through.
Yeah, it's weird being on Team White because it doesn't really feel like a team. Do you know what I mean? I don't really get invited to the meetings. I don't get any dividends from the shareholders. It's yeah. Like, you know. But back to what you were saying on who will play in a movie.
Yes, yeah, right? Well,
so Donnie Brasco, famously Johnny Depp, excellent role. He played the undercover cop in Donnie Brasco. They were laughing at the trial because the movie had came out because the real Donnie Brasco is like an obese Italian. And the old greaseballs, like, how the fuck did they get Johnny Depp to play you? You can't even sit in your seat. Like,
oh, that's beautiful. I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, okay. I remember reading about that.
There's a few other names that kept popping up in there.
As we come to them, because at one point there's possibly the best casting of all time for a role. But so it starts off, and it is almost verbatim from the court of Robert Durst's accounts of things, because it starts as like kind of Robert Durst as an older man telling the story, and then it goes into the story.
From a timeline point of view.
Yeah.
So just tell me the chicken and egg here. So did Durst... Did Durst go to court before the film was made, or was the film made and then Durst went to court for the murder Mr. Black?
Durst was on... This is after the trial in Texas.
Oh, okay. So
this
he's
came
already...
out like 2008. Those were 2003.
Oh, okay. All right. So the interest in that trial probably spurned on Jarecki a little bit.
That's where he would have found his interest in it, I imagine. So, but it's almost like it's the lawyer doing that whole like, what happened to your mother? She died a violent death, and it's that kind of exactly almost word for word.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've changed the names. They've changed like because you know the Durst family are not letting you use the name fucking Durst.
No,
that has changed. First thing, you are not using that.
What's the name of the family in the film?
David Marks, the Marks family.
Marks, that was it, yeah, because he's a Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, so it even says, this story is inspired by events that took place between 1979 and 2003, New York, Los Angeles, and Texas. And at that point, I thought, since I watched this the first time the Jinx came around, my girlfriend wanted to watch it, so I re-watched it with her. I watched this when we started doing the Jinx in, what, fucking October? This is the fourth time I'm watching this movie. This is like if we look on the app and we're like, yeah, someone checked out the Minimalist episode you ever did. I shouldn't be seeing this for the fourth time. I should have just remembered, but I wanted it to be all right for the podcast.
I turned around to my missus and said, I have to watch this film for the podcast. And she went, well, okay, well, let's watch it. And I went, let's check out the trailer. And because it's on Amazon Prime, as I've said before, worst trailers ever. The trailer.
No, they just show the first minute of a movie.
They show a random clip, like of 2 minutes of the film. It's dreadful. And I just put that on, and she looked at me and she went, looks a bit shit. And then she said, what is it about, the documentary? And I went, it's about a guy who kills people but gets away with it in real life, although he might not have killed them. I said, I don't know. I haven't seen all of it yet. And she went, that was Rick's choice, wasn't it? Yes, yeah. They're all Rick's choice. If it's bad and something you might like. So she's keen to watch The Jinx, but she hasn't watched it yet because she can't watch documentaries with me because I always hit the pause key.
For £5 a month, she can listen to what we think about The Jinx. And again, if you listen to this on the main feed, our ego has taken a bruising.
Thank you.
If this is a free episode, me and Matt have had a chat and realised something wasn't working out. If you all listen to it on the Patreon, God bless
you. No, it's the Patreon fans. I'm thanking. I'm believing in the Patreon. I watched a woman from Hull talk about Patreon. So I'm on board now with Patreon. But a woman from Hull really sold it on me.
Oh, God bless you.
So what I loved about this film when it first started was he had a dog, and it was a Mammut, is the breed of the dog.
I thought it was a husky.
Because I wrote it down. I was like, oh, I want one of them dogs. And he talks to the dog. And, yeah, you don't really see much more of the dog. And as much as I've got...
Until later.
I've got an absolute adoration of Kirsten Dunst. Yeah. I didn't like the film. It made me feel cold.
I think Gosling was doing this as a real biopic because he tries to be Durst. Like, you can tell him, like, he's watched the videos of the court trials and he is trying to mimic Durst. He plays a better old Durst because we don't know what young Durst was like.
Well, a young Durst, if you look at the pictures on the internet, a young Durst looks... He's a pretty sexy looking guy, right? For a Joe average guy.
With the weird medieval hair, come on. Yeah. This is what, because he's too good looking. Ryan Gosling's like 6'2 and built like fucking Captain America. So you can't, they just put him in a Robert Durst sweater and mess his hair up a little bit. It's really funny, the difference.
Can you try and be unattractive, Ryan? No, I can't. That's just not, just it's beyond me.
In a flick.
I'm no Daniel Day-Lewis here. Come on, I'm Ryan Gosling.
A flaky cardigan without a fucking microbe of anything fluff on it. Do you know what I mean? The cleanest jumpers you ever. If you want to see a clean jumper, watch fucking Robert Durst in this movie.
What I'm glad is that I watched the film after I watched The Jinx. But I must admit, I had a strange relationship with the film. I liked it, yet at the same time, I really didn't like it.
I know what you mean.
Does that make sense? It does make sense, right? But I can't tell you why. I mean, I'm no Barry Norman, so I'm just not... I don't know why I didn't like it. I didn't like Ryan Gosling in it.
It doesn't have any natural movie plot points, like no equilibrium, disequilibrium. It's all over the place, and you kind of have to know the story.
Yeah, and there's no ending.
To be watching intently.
Exactly. Because there's no ending in real life, right? So, yeah.
We'll get through that. But for me, the weird part was Kathy, because we've seen how much 7 hours of The Jinx, we've never seen Kathy talk. We've never seen her move around, act, do anything, because she's no longer here. So that is where it's almost like artistic license to see what she's like, where we can go, oh, Robert Durst acted like this at certain points of the documentary. That's quite realistic in the movie. Yeah. We don't have that frame of reference with Kathy.
But she is Kirsten Dunst is a superb actress. I mean, Spider-Man aside.
And the way they meet is like he gets sent by his dad to go fix a sink. And by every scene, Robert Durst is high. He smokes weed in every fucking scene. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's all he does is get a fucking cane. He is baked 24/7. And then he goes in and Kirsten Dunst is there and just like wearing like Daisy Dukes of the Slinky Top. Durst gets, I mean, right, we'll call him Gosling because, let's face it, Robert Durst didn't go there, get wet hair, and she's like, man, he's handsome, then discover he's rich.
You're looking at young Durst all wrong. He's quite an attractive man.
I think he's well manicured. I don't think he's anywhere near Ryan Gosling, all right? If you say Robert Durst, Ryan Gosling, this is how he got hoodwinked into doing the documentary. He's just like, he knows me. Women react that way to me. I have a power. And then so like he's there for his floppy wet hair, then brings her to like a family gathering to annoy his dad. And then
Ron Swanson.
Kathy's brother's played by Ron Swanson. Yeah,
superb. What's his name in real life?
I've forgotten.
Oh, come on.
He's always going to be Ron Swanson.
He is Ron Swanson. What is his goddamn... I saw him in the street in Edinburgh.
And did he have a name tag on?
Well, because his show was on at the same time as mine, so I couldn't go and see it.
Yeah, he released it on Netflix.
He's in everything lately. Do you know what Ron Swanson's middle name is? Ronald Ulysses Swanson. Oh, that's very apt.
Yeah, from Parks.
So, yeah, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec by Nick Offerman is who I saw in the street.
Offerman,
yeah,
that's right.
Superb. Absolutely superb. He played the brother really well because you get to see the brother, right?
Yeah. And then Susan Berman's character is played by, she's really good in American Horror. I don't know her name, but she plays like the Stevie Nicks type character in American Horror movie. American Horror Story, the season. She's a main in that. She's really good.
No.
She plays Bernstein.
Right, okay.
And look how you're not going to look her name up, you big sexist. Wait.
Well, only because
oh, one second, I'm not getting this wrong. I'm not getting this wrong.
I can't
wrong.
Get Offerman wrong. I've seen him in the street. What was it? American Horror Story. I won't watch horror, you
well,
see.
Just type in Susan Berman.
What's the name of the film again? This is not in my...
All Good Things.
All Good Things. Why was it called All
Welcome
Good
to the
Things?
Patreon, where things are more... All Good Things Come to an End, like their marriage, I guess.
Oh, that makes complete sense.
This is how you know it's a bad movie. Two movies since that movie coming out has also been called All Good Things.
Lily Rabe is Deborah Lerman.
That'll be it.
Yeah, she's in... Lily Rabe. Yeah. She is in...
And she plays that role really well, from what you've seen of Susan Berman.
She is in American Horror Story. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, Lily Rabe. And there we go.
And then you've got Durst doing things like Screaming Therapy. which is odd. He's just doing this absolute howling and screaming and trying to do... And then Kathy gets pregnant, which he's not happy with.
I must have seen this film about 2 weeks ago. It has completely left my brain. I can't believe you're paying for this on the Patreon. Shame on you. Well, shame.
Here's the thing. We are given the full... Like, listen to this because you do not need to see this movie. We're just basically saying what's kind of confirmed within the documentary and what's artistic license is interesting. And the big question of which I'll pose at the end.
Yeah, it's like I said, the film left me feeling genuinely I was cold watching it. I think it's the filter that they use on it. So Reservoir Dogs has got a similar filter on the screen where you're like, oh, it just doesn't feel warm. Whereas some films feel, warm.
It's very cold and isolating, isn't it? Yeah. So it's all beautiful buildings, like tall ceilings, but just very little.
And it's like the colours turned down on the whole film.
Because it also goes through their time in Vermont, and then the dad comes and makes him come back from Vermont when they've opened up a health food store.
Yeah, and it shows that he's clearly got mental health issues in the film. So they're, the fact that when he's painting the boat, so no one don't steal it. They can show him going paranoid. And then when I really started checking out of the film, he kills a dog, man.
Oh, that's in a bit. We'll get to that. That's brutal. But it's like Kathy's birthday, so they go to her family home and he drags her out by her hair and no one does anything about
it. Yeah, why didn't Ron Swanson stand up?
That hurt. Yeah, that's an older Ron Swanson would have done some shit about that. He's not letting that happen. And then they're discovering that Kathy can't get anything and the divorce is going to lawyers to discuss the trusts that are all set up in place.
What? And then it starts painting her out as a heavy cocaine user, which...
Yeah, Kirsten Wiggs giving her a blow.
Now, I don't know if that's fair or not, right? Although saying that, it was the 80s, it was New York, so chances are there's probably a lot of truth in that, right? And it wasn't just cocaine, it was good cocaine. Because in the 80s, because the cocaine that we got in the 90s and the 2000s, that would have been cut to shit, right, by the time it reached us over here. But then it was new. They had to get the product out good. So, yeah, good Charlie.
Well, also, in defense of that decision, that you've also got Kathy was like marked to be drink driving, which I don't know if that was Robert's frame of reference or one of her friends had told her, but she was like the night she disappeared, she was drink driving the Mercedes to get back home.
Yeah, but if you're only going to ask his version of it, he's the saint in the whole thing.
I'm trying to cobble together. I'm not going to watch 7 more hours to make sure I'm factual on that one. But there was the whole, because Ron Swanson intentionally says you can't drive in that state, you're drunk. And then there was a bit in the documentary since she was...
Go on then, I can't argue with you anymore.
He turns to the dog, like you've already said, and he says to the dog when he gets to the phone, go, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
And then when...
He's really rude to the dog, but you think initially it's quite quirky, and then it ain't.
Yeah, and when Kathy comes home, she says, where's the dog? And he went, he's at the kennels because he bit me. And then she goes to take the rubbish out, and he's just left like the neckerchief that the dog wears covered in blood. So he's killed the dog.
It was an Alaskan Malamute was the actual breed. A Malamute. But it is, basically, it's a little husky.
Yeah, he calls his dad. So the implication is that Kathy's now dead. He calls his dad at 3 a.m. in the morning. His dad turns up in a full suit, still at 3 a.m. He's not. Seymour Durst never dresses down. He's got cufflinks on and a tie pin at 3 a.m.
But the older fellas do that. I was in Morrison's the other day, and a bloke cut me up with his trolley. And when I saw him, he was about a 70, 75-year-old man. Yeah, and he had a full suit on with a cardigan. Older people do that still. Like they'll dress up to get on a plane, won't they?
When my dad went to get, I went through Newcastle once with my dad. He wanted to get my mum a fancy watch for Christmas. So he was going to like a jewellery store and he wore a full suit and tie.
Yeah.
And I went, why do you do that? He goes, well, it won't take me seriously otherwise. And I just found that so fucking fun. Like how mean were people back in that day?
Yes.
If you weren't dressed correctly, your money wasn't good enough. Whereas you can have a fucking do-rag, a diamond earring, walk in there and fucking hit it on your debit card these days. Like, I can walk into my PJs and buy a diamond necklace if I've got the cash. The idea, he looks like he's going to a funeral, so like someone's like, sir, I believe you can afford one of these watches. Funny thing, most expensive thing he ever got me mother, and my mom just cannot hide what she's actually thinking. So he gives her this watch, and it's like a very thin Gucci watch, and she went, well, I can't read the bloody numbers on it. Chuck it back at him. What the frick do I want this for?
When I bought my missus Christmas present from the jewellers, I was wearing board shorts, flip-flops and a T-shirt. I wasn't even wearing underwear. Right? I walked in, I'm like, all right, yeah, one of them. That'll do.
Didn't you tell me they were laughing at your stories? You were like, yeah, I'll get some more necklaces. Yeah. This is a nice place. I feel like I'm doing well.
She ripped me off basically because she laughed at something I said. I was like, oh, I love it here. Yeah, my ego is terrible. That's, they like me. So yeah, the dad turned up and looked at a car and it was all implicated, right? That he'd put his wife's body in the car.
Well, that's actually the final scene. So they cut from there. Yeah, it's weird the way it jumps around the timelines. That's why I wanted to watch it again. So the very last scene is Seymour Durst goes and looks in that car and the implication is he then has to dispose of the body. You then see Susan Berman character wearing a blonde wig and glasses and going into the flats, which never happened because when they interviewed the people, they just said, no, we never saw her. But they implied that she's set an alibi in New York away from them.
And what did the film make in terms of money or anything like that? Did you, how much homework have you done? Have you done the normal me diligence type?
No, Rotten Tomatoes was as far as it went, but we're nearly done there because then he goes to Galveston, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he's dressing up as a woman, which again, like, it's such a weird depart from the character. That's not really explained. It just jumps. If you don't know the story that he did that, you're like, well, that's fucking... There's no decision to do that. There's no start. He's just there in that time. So you have to know the story, really, a follower of our being. That's fucking...
That's right, because the film starts with him walking on a bridge dressed as a woman, but you don't know that that's him, so you think that's a woman.
Like you said, there's a lot probably cut out and edited just to fit it all in because it's an expansive story over 25 years. But then you meet Morris Black, and how good is the casting for Morris Black in being the library cop from Seinfeld?
Don't get better than that, man.
It's about as on point as it gets, but this is...
Doesn't get better than that. So his name is...
Oh, you remembered that one. Did you write that one down? Worthy of note.
His name is, Philip Baker Hall.
This is why I get shitty messages on Facebook.
This is exactly gender equality. Right.
I post one fucking post on Facebook, and God bless her, she's a very interactive listener, but I get told that we're not doing enough about women within 8 seconds.
And she supported...
That was at 4 in the morning.
And she supported the podcast.
4 in the morning. I posted it. I went, all right, I've done that. I don't normally post online. Might'll be happy that I did that. He's been ill this week. I'll do that. Oh, we've had a notification. Oh, I'm sexist. Brilliant. Anyway.
I've checked out the film. So the film made $1.7 million. That's not... What was Ryan Gosling's fee, do you reckon?
Gosling's fee, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that wouldn't pay for Gosling doing 10. That pays for Gosling burping once.
That's insane, isn't it? It only made $500,000 in America. No one was that interested in... I think the Jinx probably did
without
more.
Without a doubt. Yeah. This is, I can't think of something comparable. Imagine if, like... Well, the problem is naming a bad movie. Do you know what I mean? So if you imagine if the movie Three Ninjas, a kid's movie from the 90s, ended up having the best-selling documentary because a dad made kids be three fucking ninjas. Do you know what I mean? You're like, why would you watch the movie when the documentary's incredible? But the interesting artistic thing they do in the movie is they imply Morris Black goes to L.A. and kills Susan Berman. That's the interesting thing for me.
Which makes complete sense. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, that might have happened, actually.
I don't think it did. We'll get to that, because the next episode is an exciting one. That's a wrap-up of everything that's happened since and what's going on with Robert Durst. I'm very excited to get to that.
Just check it out, the IMDb page on All Good Things. Kirsten Dunst revealed on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon that Robert Durst visited the set.
No way.
When it was being filmed, to watch from a distance, yeah. And here's a final thing I'm going to read off of IMDb. Ryan Gosling felt so bad about a scene where he had to pull Kirsten Dunst's hair that he sent her flowers the day after. Oh, that's sweet. I bet he's a lovely fella, Ryan Gosling.
Why wouldn't you be? Come on.
He would be. He's just adorable. He's like America's Daniel Craig.
He's going to play the Rick Wharton part in the movie. He's trying to shave the right part of his head. It's a grey vape pen he uses. A grey vape pen.
Him and The Rock are reading lines. I'm not sure I could be a straight man. Of course you can, The Rock. Of course you
can. There is scenes while they're trying to get him to work hard in Durst Tower, and I'm like, I'm not going to identify with that.
So overall, what did you think of the film? I mean, you've watched it more times than probably Andrew Jarecki.
I know. It's all right once you've obsessed over the Jinx to check out and see what they thought. Because this is the big question, and the question I don't have an answer to. If you watch this movie and you're Robert Durst, what makes you think, because he kills his dog?
Yep.
He organizes the death of Susan Berman.
Yep.
There's a point when he goes to see his dad at the very end, and the way he turns the fucking the blinds down.
You think he's going to kill him?
Scene, it almost implies that he's about to kill his dad. So he killed his wife, his friend, the guy who apparently helped him, the library cop, and his dog. And you go, and in the documentary says, these guys seem to know me. I don't want to do like a true crime thing with those other guys. I think these guys know enough about me, my story. And you're like, what the fuck, Robert? Why would
ego.
You?
Ego. It's pure ego.
It's baffling, is what it is. And he deserves to be caught on the back. If you watch that movie and go, do you know what? I think these are the guys to tell my story. It's fucking insane. I think it because it implies his dad's an asshole. That's how much he hates his family.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Sticking one to the old man, right?
He sat there stone going, I do smoke pot. Look good in the car. I buy hot chicks. This is... They've got enough right about me. They got enough right about me to do this. I'll get in touch. But yeah, not a great movie.
Not
but
a great film.
If you've been through the Jinx, it is funny just to watch go, why has he then reached out to them? And the idea that he turned up on set's fucking fascinating. Like,
well,
imagine if he's given... No, it was the side of the head I shot. I didn't shoot her, but it was the side of the head that I actually did that.
Why are you not getting the library cop to kill her? That's what I did. Oh, right. Oh, okay. That's a good... We weren't going to go in that direction, Robert, but thank you very much. Okay, well, just that...
But that
just
movie,
score the,
if you think,
score the
is,
film, then.
As a ripple in the pond, that movie is the step that caused the step, that caused the trip that now has Robert Durst in court. And that is... actually
yeah,
quite
point.
A good thing.
Yeah, good point.
Because one wouldn't have happened without the other, and then
it's
other.
The butterfly so, yeah, effect. Yeah.
This movie's a fucking a two, and I'll get to why I'm not bothered about Mr. Jarecki's feelings in the next one, because the next one's an exciting
okay,
one. This,
so that's now we're going to talk about
everything
yeah.
that's happened since.
All right, well, let's wrap this up then. So, I'm going to give this film, I'm going to give it a three, just because it. I think it did what it was intended to do. It made you feel uncomfortable. It's not nice hearing about a guy who goes around killing women, right? Effectively, as we later learn, the guy's a fucking serial killer. So.
Episode one of the documentary, Andrew Jarecki said, I set out to make a movie that Robert Durst could watch and say, you know, and have a reaction to it. Which, let's be honest, he nailed that. Yeah. If that's what you intended. Now, I wish I could be. If I was annoyed at something going on in my life or my workspace at the moment, imagine that, Matt, if I was annoyed about something. And I could then just hire Johnny Depp to play the part of the guy and go, you see what he's doing? That's what you're doing.
There's probably some unknown actor was going to play him initially. Right, let's wrap this up then, and then let's do the next episode.
Stephen Merchant.
Which is we're going to talk about... We are going to talk about what's happened next, basically. Thank you for listening, and let's...
Yeah, this is the exciting one. That I was looking forward to doing this research. So thank you very much for joining, and skip on in for our final wrap-up of our Odyssey of the Jinx.